Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We are very honored to have a very special guest with us today. We have Mayor Dina Reed of the City of Harrisonburg. She is grown up in Harrisonburg and was inspired by the strong women around her to dedicate her life to community service. Her journey has been marked by her passion for education, mentorship, and bringing together diverse communities. From her involvement in local organizations to co-founding Precious Gems Academy and directing the On the Road Collaborative, Dina has made a significant impact. Elected as the first African-American woman to Harrisonburg City Council and chosen as mayor, Dina's story is one of resilience, leadership, and unwavering commitment to making a difference. Let's dive into her inspiring journey and learn more about what it takes to lead a city with such dedication and vision. Welcome to the show, Mayor Reed. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What do you think about that intro?
It was wonderful. I don't think I've ever heard it that way. I mean, you just gave it some spice, but thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for serving our city. It's exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Despite what our political beliefs may be and how they differ, it is an honor to be sitting with you here today and having you do what you have done. Thank you.
Sometimes you don't hear it that way, and I appreciate it. It's been 7.5 years of service for my hometown, but I wake up every day excited to be in this position. So thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Not everybody likes talking about politics, and that's not necessarily the focus of our conversation, diving deep into division or anything like that. But I think that it's very important that we have people represent our beliefs in whatever capacity that may be.
Agreed.
And so I think it's of great value to be able to sit here and talk with you about what it's like to sit in your chair. And how you got here.
Yes. In my chair.
In your chair. And how did you get here? So let's talk about that. Can you share more about the women who inspired you to pursue community service and mentorship? I feel like there's this rich story in there I'd like to uncover a little bit.
It's a story. thank you for asking me that question, because I love talking about those women that I always say this, but they had their hands on me. Mm-hmm. And literally, they did. And so I always start with my grandmother, Carmelita Bundy.
You named her.
She's my grandmother, Carmelita Bundy. And so she's she was someone that taught me grace.
Oh, good.
She was a very sweet spirit, a very sweet soul, a very sweet woman. Mm-hmm. But she was tough. And she was very tough on her daughter, my mother, her granddaughters, me and my sisters, and her nieces. The boys didn't get the toughness, right?
Really?
Oh, no. The nephews, I say it all the time.
But clearly not.
And that was with all her, with you'll hear me talk on my Aunt Dars, who is her sister. Those two raised the family. But they were very tough on the girls and very soft with the boys. But my grandmother and I, we were like kindred spirits. Mm-hmm. I was born on her birthday. So we shared the same birthday.
Yeah.
And she had these friends, and back when I was growing up, So I'm, you know, I don't mind sharing my age. I'm 58. So I came up in, you know, the 70s and the 80s, and where you were raised by your grandmother's girlfriends, like anybody could discipline you.
Okay.
At any given moment, right?
Community parenting.
Yes. And nothing was said about it, right? Mm-hmm. And you had to listen to what they said. And so my grandmother had these friends, and one was Miss Wilhelmina Johnson. So you will hear me talk about my grandmother, Carmelita Bundy, my aunt, Doris Harper Allen, and Miss Wilhelmina Johnson, and my first black high school teacher, Miss Barbara Blakey. Those are the four women I always talk about. My service, giving back to the community, comes from my Aunt Doris.
Really?
She was a community activist. She actually has a building on JMU's campus named after her.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
They just did that when they renamed the buildings on the quad. They renamed one after her.
Oh, that's so exciting. What an honor.
Yes, just a community activist. So I got my service from her. I also got the quality or the characteristic of being nosy from her.
Okay.
She told me, you be nosy.
Like curious, is that what she meant by that?
Yeah, curious or nosy. Okay. You like, just put yourself in everything.
I see.
And she meant that, you know. And I do that. You know, she was like, you got to be involved. You got to be in it, right? Mm. There shouldn't be conversations without you being there. And then Miss Wilhelmina Johnson, good friend of my grandmother's, she was our church mother. So we would go to church, she took care of the youth. And I tell this quick story about Miss Wilhelmina. Miss Wilhelmina was one that she did all the church plays, and we were, as young adults, we were in the plays, and she never let us read from paper. We had to memorize everything. We had to memorize scripture. We had to memorize our parts. And I was so nervous about doing that, but she made us do it all the way from young age of 6 and 7 all the way up to teenagers. And what I didn't realize what Miss Wilhelmina was doing for me was preparing me to speak in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I see that.
Yeah. I mean, she was preparing us to do that. And little did I know that I would be mayor and I would have to be giving speeches in front of people all the time.
I'm sure. When you're a kid, you weren't even thinking about that.
I wasn't thinking about it. Yeah. But that's what she was instilling in us then. And then Miss Barbara Blakey, who was my high school typing teacher back in that, we had typewriters, we had typewriters.
Old school. Yes. Definitely dating ourselves.
Yes. At Harrisonburg High School.
Yeah.
But when I attended Harrisonburg High School, it was very, I had a, it was very little, black people that went to Harrisonburg High School, right? At my time, it wasn't as diverse as it is now.
Today,
But I had probably 11 of us in my senior class, 11 black people, and I was kin to everybody but one person.
Really?
And so that was the person I dated.
And she's smart.
Yeah.
Loffers.
Everybody else was my cousin, right? But Miss Blakey made sure that we had opportunity. And so one of the things that she did for me was she wanted me to attend Girl State.
What's Girl State?
So Girl State was a 2-week camp. I guess you would call it like a camp at Longwood University, Longwood College in Farmville. And it was about government. You learned about government. And you had to be selected to go from your high school. And so she made sure that I was one of the people that went. And that's where I really learned about politics and learning about government and civic engagement was at Girl State. And I think I was a junior, maybe a sophomore. But My mother was young when she had me. She was a young mother. My grandparents my grandmother was a housekeeper. My grandfather was a janitor here in the city. And so, you know, they really didn't know too much about college, right? And so, but they trusted Miss Blakey. And so when Miss Blakey called my mom and said, Dina needs to go to this this camp, and my mother had no idea what it was, but she packed my bags and she was like, you're going.
Oh, that's great.
I went. And that was the trust that we had with Miss Blakey, and she took care of us. And so each woman prepared me for who I am today, and I'm so grateful for them because without them, I would not be who I am or serving on this platform that I am today.
That's a beautiful and rich story. I'm curious, when you went to learn about politics for the first time as a young teenager, what were your first thoughts and feelings? Were you interested, disinterested, wanted to know more then? Or was it more like a seed plant?
I think it was a seed plant.
Okay.
Because I've never been interested in government or politics or anything like that. But I do think that, you know, it was a seed that was planted that later, you know, came to to this beautiful experience that I'm having today. It's beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Good. Good.
Sometimes it's not. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But overall, yes.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. What motivated you to return to Harrisonburg, I believe, to take care of your grandmother?
Carmelita. There was no motivation. It was a necessity. So my grandmother could no longer live alone in her house.
Okay.
And she was actually, you know, ill. Right. And so she raised me. Between me and my sister, my sister's married. She had just had a baby. And she basically told me, you need to go back home and take care of mama. We call her mama. And I was like, okay. So I had some time built up in my career. And she was really ill, you know.
Okay.
And she had, you know, I don't know if you know about black grandmamas, but they tell you exactly how they're going to die, where they're going to die, what you going to do. They just
leave. That's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they don't want to go to a nursing home.
Oh, yeah.
They want to die in their bed, in the room.
I hear that.
So she had already told me, you know, I'm not going to last long. It's going to be better. So I was like, okay, well, I took about 3 months off. Came home. She was getting everything ready, you know, for a transition. And I was like, okay, you know, doing her wishes. My grandmother lived 7 more years.
Wow.
I mean, people were calling me and they were like, hey, how's your grandma? I said, she's at the beauty parlor.
She was doing okay.
You might want to call her over there. She getting her hair done. But they were like, she what? She rejuvenated when I got back home.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. I mean, I'm glad she lasted that the way, but she just had a new life when I came back home. And so what happened was I came back home. And, you know, she kept telling me, she was like, I've always done community service, right? That's just in my blood. That's how I'm built. That's my DNA. And she was like, all that work you are doing in Charlottesville, because I lived in Charlottesville for a while, Richmond, I was living in Richmond. All that work you're doing in those communities, you need to do it here, because Harrisonburg is my hometown. So it was a blessing because my previous career was a beautiful, wonderful career at the TJX company.
What is TJX?
That is TJ Maxx Marshalls.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank
and
you.
And I was with TJ Maxx.
Okay.
And I had a great career. But I was able to make a career change when I came back home.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a passion for our youth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially our girls,
yeah.
Right? And so I was able to focus on them and kind of do that mentorship that was given to me.
Oh, right? That's great. Paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I founded Precious Gems Academy with a girlfriend of mine and then was able to turn that into On the Road Collaborative with Brett Holsinger.
Yeah,
we merged to after school programs. He had Beyond the Bell. I had Precious Gems, and we merged the two together and created On the Road.
Okay.
And I was doing something that I absolutely loved, which was empowering young people. And we were able to build this great nonprofit organization.
That's amazing.
And so that's what kept me here.
Mm.
Once I did that with Brent, we took off. There was no going back to Richmond. There was no going back to that life because I was truly doing what I felt was my calling, was empowering young people.
Wow. That's such an incredible story.
Thank you. And then Mama family, she finally transitioned.
Okay.
She's probably up there saying, there she go telling that story.
I hope so.
There she go.
Well, I'm glad you returned to Harrisonburg.
Thank you.
You are welcome. I love the story. And I like to return to things that are favorite to me, too.
Oh, okay.
Like this absurdly flavorful popcorn.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something.
From our sponsor, Preposterous. Have you ever had it?
Have I ever had it? I'm surprised I don't have a whole tin sitting up in my kitchen right now. I love this popcorn. First of all, oh, let me get a couple bites right now.
She's getting a couple bites.
Oh, my God.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah, the kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. The factory is 100% nut-free. They just received the Virginia's Finest trademark for a specially crafted food, which is hard to get. And it's a perfect gift for literally any occasion.
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I'm eating, but
yeah.
She, Tisha.
Yeah, who owns the Preposterous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She comes, she has an incredible story.
She does. She does. We've had her on the podcast, too.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
But she just comes up with just all these different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
But these little bags, right?
These
individual bags that you can just give away for folks, and they're great for like events and conferences and
gift bags.
Yeah, company stuff. I mean, she just, it's great. So thank you. Enjoy. I love her.
She's great.
Preposterous. Make me sure I say it right. Preposterous.
I know. I got in trouble early on in the podcast because I wasn't emphasizing the pop.
Well, I never understood. I was like,
but what? I am now, aren't I, Tisha?
And wherever she got this name from, I'm just like,
oh, that's a good story. You'll have to listen to her podcast.
I have to listen to that.
Yeah, she's great. And she loves this podcast and the listeners so much so that she gives them a discount, 15% off with promo code LAUGH15 when you visit preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com.
Gosh, you did that without even looking.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I would have messed that spelling up.
Say it a few times, it gets stuck in there. You know what I mean? So now back to you, Mayor Reed.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your key challenges and successes you experienced while working with the African American Culture Festival?
Oh, wow.
I know, I pulled that out. I did a little homework. So you were involved with a lot of community organizations. That was one of them.
Mm-hmm. It was. That's probably one of my first. That's why when you said that, I was like, wait a minute.
I look people up.
Yeah, so you're talking about the African American Festival mm-hmm. that goes on annually mm-hmm. Up at Lucy F. Sims, yeah. Ralph Sampson Park. Mm-hmm. I do believe it is shameless plug. It will be this year, September 14th, I believe. What were some of the challenges mm-hmm. with working with that?
Challenges and successes.
It's a festival that celebrates the Black culture. Mm-hmm. And so the success that I've seen over the years, it gets bigger and bigger every year. That's one thing.
That's great.
But because Harrisonburg has grown and because Harrisonburg is so diverse, it gives other people outside of our community, the Black community, to see who we are, right? Mm. And so you will come to this festival and you will see everybody. You just don't see Black people. You see everybody.
All cultures, I imagine. And that's great.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
I love that. Needs to happen a lot more.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so you get to experience, you know, our music, our food, right? Vendors. And so it's really games. It's just a really great event. Challenges, you know, we always are, and I'm not a part of it, part of the committee anymore, but my cousin Stephanie Howard is the chair, along with Carol Johnson Raymond and Tara Jones Forney is also a part of it. Tara Forney Jones. It's always making sure that we have enough sponsors, because mm-hmm. the more sponsors we get, the bigger right the event is,
and so
just making sure that we can get more and more people who would like to sponsor this event is probably the most challenging, but it's a great event. So September 14th, I believe, is the date this year, all day at Ralph Sampson Park.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. We will actually find that information for you, and we'll put it in the show notes so that you can check it out when the fall comes. Mm-hmm. So that'll be amazing. You are also in a sorority that you have been involved.
You have done your homework.
I do my homework, Laughers.
Yes.
And you were involved in a sorority. What was the name of the sorority?
It is Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
I knew it would be better if she said it. And I was right.
Yes.
And so how long have you been? I assume that happened in college.
It did. Okay. I have been in this sorority for 39 years.
They must be so proud of you.
They are. They are. And I'm proud of myself because, you know, let me give you a little history lesson.
That's what we're here for. We want the behind the scenes.
Because a lot of folks don't understand the Black Greek organizations.
Oh, great. So, yes, fill us in.
Right. So we are a little different than the white fraternities and sororities. Yes, we, you can become a part of the fraternity or sorority in college, but you can also become a part of it even afterwards.
I did not know that.
So I ended up joining Delta when I attended Radford University back in 1985. But you don't stop there. Like, once you finish with college, graduate from college, mm-hmm. then it's a lifetime commitment, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're supposed to go from an undergrad to an alumni chapter, which alumni chapter is women who are older and, you know, so when you get through your college, then you join an alumni chapter, and then you're in the alumni chapter you're supposed to be in it for the rest of your life. And so you're still doing the work. So I am now a member of the Charlottesville alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. And so I continue my service, but we have been in existence for 111 years.
Wow.
We are service, scholarship, and sisterhood. Our colors are red and white or crimson and cream.
Oh, I picked so that's the right where color you popcorn see, today.
Yes, and you see my all my stuff. So
yeah,
it's been a part of my life for 39 years, and I love my sorority. I'm also the advisor for the undergraduate chapter at JMU, and I've been their advisor for 21 years. So
wow.
It's been a big part of my life, and yeah. also has prepared me. So
that's what I was going to ask. So yeah. Please do share that. How did it shape your path?
Oh, absolutely. So we have some women that are in politics or that are Deltas. So I'm trying to think if you would know, Congresswoman Jennifer McCullen,
mm-hmm.
Who serves as Virginia's Congresswoman in D.C. She is a Delta. Shirley Chisholm was a Delta. Barbara okay. Jordan was a Delta. So there's other sororities and fraternities that we're called the Divine Nine. So there's other sororities. Kamala Harris, who is the vice president, she's a AKA Alpha Kappa Alpha. That's another sorority.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of us. There's all of these, I guess, celebrities, mm-hmm. elected officials, athletes that are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I think you guys have a good time when you get together.
Oh, we have an awesome time. We just had a convention. We just had a conference and rally. So, yeah, we always getting together and having a good time.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit now about your academy that you started.
Yeah.
What inspired it and what kinds of work does it do for the youth?
Are you talking about
the Precious Gems Academy?
So Precious Gems was started mainly because let me tell this story. So when I came home,
mm-hmm.
and I was invited to go see Harrisonburg High School. That was not the high school that I graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
The high school that I graduated from is now Memorial Hall. That was my high school.
Okay, so like the original high school, it's now JMU building.
Yes, that was where I went okay. to high school. But the current high school, when I got back home, I had never been there. And there was so much, back then, there was so much controversy about the high school because mm-hmm. it was overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my old teachers wanted me to come see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out there and see it. So we were doing a tour. Never seen it before. So we were doing a tour and we kind of went down to the bottom part and there was this daycare center down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that the daycare center was for the teachers.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, oh, this is neat. You know, mm-hmm. you got a daycare center for the teachers. And
right.
there was probably about 11 little babies in there, right? And he was like, no, that's not for the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he's like, that's for the students.
Right.
And I was like, oh, right. And it just kind of, clicked. I was like, oh. And so then I started doing research
mm-hmm.
about teen pregnancy in Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we were like the top three in the state of Virginia.
With for teen pregnancy?
For teen pregnancy.
Wow.
And so then I started thinking about my upbringing and mm-hmm. how, you know, there were women who, you know, like I told you, who always, you know, was just in our life. And so mm-hmm. I got a couple of my girlfriends and I was like, how about if we just kind of, you know, meet with girls in the neighborhood once a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started out on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just mentor. And it turned into like a need. Like these girls mm. really liked, you know, coming together once mm-hmm. a week, talking, you know, just being.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, there's a need here, right?
Okay.
And so then I created this program. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kisner was He was the superintendent at the time.
Yeah.
And he was the one who put me in the school. He said, no, we need this in the school system.
Okay.
And so he put us in the school system, and we went from 14 girls to 60.
Wow. Right? That's a big jump.
JMU, EMU became our volunteers, and we just turned this into a program, an after-school program. Mm. Like anything, money runs out, grants run out.
Mm-hmm.
And my grant, I was running under this umbrella, which was led by Brent Holsinger, Beyond the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grant money ran out. And I'm someone, and I told Brent, we had really become good friends. And I was like, I'm not leaving these students. Like, I'm not leaving these kids. And he felt the same way. And so he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, let's merge, right?
And yeah.
So what we ended up merging and creating On the Road, and what On the Road is, and it's still running, mm-hmm. it's in its 10th year, is it's a after-school program. What we found was there was nothing that supported our, like an after-school program that really supported our middle school students.
Okay.
There was a lot for elementary. There was stuff for high school.
Yeah.
But that middle school was not there.
Such a crucial time, too.
It is. It is. And so On the Road started in the middle school.
Mm.
And our niche was career enrichments. Mm. So what we offered was, of course, academic tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
But we also offered these career enrichments where we would invite community professionals to come in mm-hmm. and teach a 10-week class mm-hmm. to our students,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we would do college tours.
That's great.
All of that. And it was such a success, and it still is, to the point where we have expanded to the high school. So now we're in both middle schools and Harrisonburg High School. We will be in Rocktown. And now we have expanded outside of Harrisonburg, and we're in Waynesboro.
Oh, this is so great. Yeah, so good job, everybody.
We're at K. Collins Middle School,
yeah.
Waynesboro High School. So it has grown in the past 10 years to something that I could never imagine.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Can you think of a couple of success stories from the youth in this program that you can share with us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fernando is one. Fernando was with us probably since fifth grade, and has been with us throughout his, he's now graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
But Fernando was connected to our coding class.
Okay.
And we had it every year. We had Chato was one. Chato John would come in, and he started that coding class.
And Chato, for the laughers that may not know who he is, he's got a computer tech company that's done really well, and he's had a big impact on our community. So just to give some context.
Yeah, and our kids. Fernando just latched on to Chato. And so he was always in Chato. Chato did that for years. And so Fernando is now, he graduated from Harrisonburg High School. He works in his family business, which is Highest Roofing Company. And now he's a board member for On the Road.
Oh, that's exciting.
He just became a board member.
That is great. Yes. Congratulations, Fernando.
Yes. Cheyenne is another one. Cheyenne was somebody that, a young lady that was with me. I believe Cheyenne had been with me for fifth grade as well. And she has flourished. She has graduated from Harrisonburg. Now, I would take our students, our high school students, every year to on a college tour, a three-day college tour. We would go everywhere. But this particular tour, we just did local, and we went to
Bridgewater,
JMU, EMU, and Mary Baldwin.
Oh, that's good.
And Cheyenne, she is now a college student at Mary Baldwin.
Okay.
She also is working with the Salvation Army mm-hmm. as well. She has been in my my re-election videos.
Okay.
I keep very a close contact with her and her family. But she tells the story how she never thought she could go to college, but because of on the road and those college tours, she was able to see herself going to college.
That's
and she
great.
Was actually found herself at the college that she visited while she was with on the road. So now she's doing very well at Mary Baldwin.
Oh, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And that's just a couple.
Oh, that's just a couple, yeah.
Of the stories. And Laffers, if you want to learn more about On the Road Collaborative, yeah. we will put that in the show notes as well. And you can certainly Google it. Mm-hmm. It's quite an impressive program. So I'm excited for that. What made you to make the decision to run for city council then?
You just jump right into it.
Yeah, I just did. We get to know the mayor a little bit. Now, tell us this. Mm. Why did you decide to do this?
Yeah, so this is another story. So, you know, when I have never been to a city council meeting mm-hmm. before, but at the time it was 2016, mm-hmm. And the hot topic, you know, there's always a hot topic. The hot topic was the high school. It seemed mm-hmm. like the high school was always the hot topic.
It seems to be a hot topic still.
Still.
Yes.
So.
But anyway, we digress. Yeah. Back to the story.
Yeah. Can we talk about the good stuff? So I decided because of On the Road and I was dealing with students, right? I was like, okay, let me go to this city council meeting and see, you know, mm-hmm. What is all this about with this mm-hmm. high school? I knew it was overcrowded. I knew there had been discussion about, you know, should we add on to Harrisonburg High School? What should we do to relieve the pressure of the overcrowding?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my first city council meeting, and it was packed, and I sat in the back right down here, and I looked up on the dais. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Harrisonburg is still Harrisonburg. All men running city council.
Okay. Yeah.
And so throughout, I don't even know, throughout just listening to them, watching them, I just kept thinking, wow, I wonder if there's ever been women on city council.
Mm hmm. Good question.
And at that, it was 2016. So mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was running for president. And so that was really on my mind. Like, So I did my research. And I found out that there had only been three women on council.
Hmm.
And the last woman to serve on council, it had been almost like 20 years,
mm-hmm.
right? That was Carolyn Frank. She was actually mayor.
Oh, yeah, I know Carolyn. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah. She was the last yeah. person. And so, okay. But there are no women of color.
Hmm.
So I had made up my mind. I was like, you know what? Hillary Clinton is running for president. It might be good if I found somebody, a woman, to run for city council. So I went out looking for a woman. Mm. And I found one, and I thought she would be great.
Yeah.
And so I talked to her.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, I think I'd be interested. So okay. I was like, okay. So she said, okay. You know, we started working, you know, out her campaign. And then it was probably about a month, and she was like, I don't think this should be me.
Mm.
And she was like, I think this should be you.
Hmm.
And I was like, I was like, no, Harrisonburg is not going to vote for me, right? Mm. And she was like, no, I do. I said, I have no experience. Mm. You know, I don't, I was, you know, I'm loud. I'm, you know.
You're Dena Reed.
I'm Dena Reed.
And we love Dena Reed.
You know, I just, I mean, I run an after school program. Like, yeah. Who's going to vote for me?
Yeah.
And so she dropped out.
Mm.
And when she dropped out, I was like, should I do this? So I put my name in.
Girl, wow.
I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew was this. I've always wanted to make a difference.
Okay.
I've always wanted to serve my community.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? What's the harm? Let me just see. And so I ran and I won. I won the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I got through the primary. I was the top vote in the primary.
I read that.
And so I was like, yeah. Okay. And so I went through the primary. Then I got on the toward the general election. And I just ran off of me,
mm-hmm.
right? And I felt it out there. I felt like people wanted, they wanted somebody that they mm-hmm. could relate to,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up winning, and I ended up winning with the most votes in the city council race.
Wow.
And so that's because great. Of that,
yeah.
The council appoints you as mayor. Right,
mm-hmm.
You don't run for mayor; you run for city council.
Oh, okay,
right, and then
all right, I'm learning something.
Yeah,
okay,
you run for city council, and then the city council appoints you as mayor.
I see.
Or whoever they want as mayor. And so they were like, so there was this thing in Harrisonburg where whoever won with the most votes became mayor
mm-hmm.
during that election, and so they were like, oh well, you're going to be the mayor, and I was like. Okay.
You weren't expecting that, I see.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I can. Okay. And so I was mayor on my first time. And I have been mayor ever since. So I've been mayor for 7.5 years.
That's crazy. How did it feel to have the most votes in council history and break ground on being the first African American female, both on the council
yeah.
and as mayor of our city?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Dawn.
I can't imagine.
I knew that it was a higher power. I knew mm-hmm. it was God. I knew mm-hmm. that, okay, I think this is meant for me for this time.
Yeah.
I think Harrisonburg was just hungry for something different. And I've worked... You know, I don't want to knock anybody, but I do believe that women lead differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, we think differently, mm-hmm. so it makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that women lead differently. There's a compassion that we have. Now, we're tough.
Oh, we're tough, right? But yeah. there's a natural inborn compassion. Mm-hmm. I think the motherly nature
yeah.
is definitely real.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I have no children.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of children.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, yeah, I just think that they was just ready for that leadership. And so it was, I was so humbled by the experience, by mm-hmm. being chosen,
yeah.
By the appointment. I was a little nervous, but I really knew who I was, who I am. And I always get asked this question about what would you tell students or what would you tell young black girls?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why I ran. I wanted the young black girls that
to
I mentor
see.
To see,
see
me.
Yeah.
Somebody that looks like them
yeah.
behind that.
I think that's yeah. very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I was just me. I didn't change who I was. I was being my authentic self. And I think that connected.
Mm.
I just think Harrison Rick was just ready.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm standing on the shoulders of Carmelita Bundy,
mm-hmm.
you know, Darce Allen,
yeah,
Barbara Blakey, and Wilhelmina Johnson. And I was fortunate that my grandmother didn't see me when she wasn't able. She wasn't. She had passed, but my aunt Darce did. She voted for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
She was there.
Oh, that's great.
When I became mayor,
yeah,
Miss Wilhelmina voted for me.
Yeah.
And she was there. Miss Wilhelmina was also in my first video that I made for being mayor. And she's still living. Everybody else has passed, but she's still living. And so she's still voting.
That's great. Keep voting, Wilhelmina.
Keep voting, Miss Wilhelmina.
What would you say are the most rewarding and then most challenging aspects of being mayor of a city? By the way, laughers, we are sitting in City Hall. This is part of our city behind you. Council Chambers is not far away from us.
Right.
So what are some of the rewarding and challenging aspects of being the mayor?
Yeah, the mayor.
I know. So official.
It's so official. I think the most rewarding
mm-hmm.
is being able to serve my hometown, but also all the people that I come into contact with, hearing their stories, mm-hmm. understanding why they have chosen Harrisonburg to be their home, and being able to provide opportunities for them is the reward. I meet a lot of people, and I made a promise that if I got to this platform, that I would use it. I would use my platform to provide opportunities for people,
mm-hmm.
Especially people who need it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've done that, and I will continue to do that. And just listen, because some people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so important.
It's so important.
Every voice mm-hmm. deserves to be heard.
Yep. And you just want that.
Yeah.
Right? So being able, I'm very accessible, right? You can find me. You can come see me. And trust me, they do.
Maybe that's part of the challenge.
That's for you. But, you know, yes, used to be, because they used to show up at my house and I'd be like, okay, this is a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But
boundaries, people, boundaries.
But I want people to know that they have a mayor that they can
talk to.
And I love the little children and the students. Oh my gosh.
I'm a kid lover too.
Oh my
I can't
gosh.
Help myself. I love
going to the schools, you know, I don't care what I'm doing. If the schools call, I'm going to be there. And then sitting there and letting them ask you all these questions like, how much money do you make?
Kids are the best.
Can you get us a Chuck E. Cheese?
There are no filters, and it's amazing. I love it.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
But just for them to see themselves, right, is what I love. Now, to challenges.
The challenges. I'm curious about this. I can only imagine. I have some ideas, mm-hmm. but I don't live in the role, so I'm curious.
Well, you know, people think because you're the mayor
mm-hmm.
that you can actually take care of everything, right? A little history, a government lesson is Harrisonburg is a government that is ran by the city manager.
Okay.
So this is how it works. Okay.
This is going to be good. We all need to understand this. This will be helpful.
Yeah. I do not run the city of Harrisonburg, right?
Okay.
That I don't run like the police department. I don't run the fire department. I don't run anything. The public works. That's ran by our city manager, Andy Banks.
Okay.
Right? Andy runs the city along with his staff. Mm-hmm. He oversees all the department. Andy works for us, for mm-hmm. the city council, for city council, right? So when you look at the organizational chart of the city, the first thing you see is the people, mm-hmm. then you see city council, mm-hmm. and then you see the city manager, mm-hmm. right? So I am the face of the city, right? I run the, I do the interviews, I cut the ribbons, I do the ceremonial stuff. I run city council meetings. But I can't get you out of a traffic ticket or...
I take it you've been asked this.
Yeah, especially now that we have that...
Oh, gosh. Well, at first we have this construction going on, and then it's a bit of a speed trap, to be honest with you.
And I tell people when they have called me talking about, I said, I'm sorry, but I have been ticketed too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So, at least three times.
Yeah. Well, when they first did the warning.
Yeah.
I think I had like six.
Oh, yeah. I need to drive slower, laughers, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Especially when it has flashing lights, you know, work zone.
It was a suggestion, apparently, to me.
I was telling, could y'all please put flashing light, do something? Because I need it. I forget when I'm getting in there. But yeah, it's I get asked a lot of, can you do this? Can you do that? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? You know, I don't run the city myself. Mm-hmm. And not only that, for something to get done through city council, you have to have a majority vote, which is three votes mm-hmm. for something to pass through. So I still can't do anything by myself. You're right. I have to have two more council members to support me in whatever mm-hmm. that may be. So, sorry, that's one thing. I think they see the mayors like in, you know, New York and California, you know, big mayors, right? And say, oh, she's the mayor, so she can. No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way for mayor in general, where no matter where you are, or is that specific to Harrisonburg?
Some mayors, like in a bigger city,
like
even in Virginia, Richmond, mm-hmm. LeVar Stoney is the mayor. He runs Richmond.
I see. Yeah.
That's his job.
So then that's why people have those ideas. They may have, or they may be a transplant, and it was different from where they were. Yeah.
Now, the other thing mm-hmm. is a lot of people think me being mayor is my full-time job, and it's not. Mayor is my part-time job. It might have full-time hours, but...
and thank you again. Right?
But it's a part-time position with part-time pay, and I have a full-time job, which is I'm now the regional advancement director at Eastern Mennonite University.
So
I've been there for a year. I'm on the board. I left On the Road last year. I'm on the board at On the Road and the founder. But yeah, I work at EMU now. So that's my full-time job. So really, I have two jobs.
Yeah, you do.
Right? And I need two jobs, to be honest. It's expensive in Harrisonburg.
It's expensive everywhere right now. How do you balance the diverse needs of Harrisonburg's communities and ensure everyone feels represented?
Yeah. I've gotten better at it over time. I really, you know, in my first year, I was seeing everybody, you know, mm-hmm. Not saying no to anybody. And that's because there were so many people who needed to be heard, so many communities that needed to be heard. And so I wanted to make sure that they knew I was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now I had to get a balance. So, you know, I there's days where I just dedicate to Harrisonburg.
Right? Okay.
And it's usually Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, we meet twice a month, every other Tuesday. So on those city council Tuesdays, I'm usually here at mm-hmm. the office so that I can take meetings or talk to people. People can always email me at any time or call. But I do try to make like my rounds and talk to the different communities in the city just to do a check-in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is there any needs, any challenges? And I'm able to work my way. So, you know, I just kind of make sure that I'm touching base with people. It is a balance because mm-hmm. you can definitely wear yourself out, mm-hmm. right? I tell people all the time, you know, I don't know if it's being fortunate or not. I mean, I don't have children, mm-hmm. And I'm single. So I'm very focused mm-hmm. on the city of Harrisonburg, on students, on, you know, at Easter Mennonite. And then when I take a break, I take a break.
That's good. Those are good.
But for here in Harrisonburg, what makes Harrisonburg unique is we're a city of 56,000 mm-hmm. people, right? Mm-hmm. But we're considered a urban community, right? Yeah,
not always that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you know, we have 72 different languages spoken in the public school system.
Yeah, ESL right. is really huge yeah. here. Yep.
And we have two universities, right? We've got mm-hmm. a state university, we've got a private university, and JMU is pretty much half of our population. But we are still this intimate town.
Yeah, we are.
You know, that's what makes us yeah. unique. We still got that intimate feel. So people want to be able to call you up and talk to you. They want to be able to know that you will, you know, meet with them and talk with them. So that's important here. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely try to reach out to folks and have group meetings or organizational meetings, whatever, to make sure that we are in communication with each other.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like how you dedicate days too. That's a good tip mm-hmm. on time management. Mm-hmm. I try my darnest to do podcast work on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, you got to do that.
You know, time block work, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I usually try not to do, because sometimes my weekends are busy with events.
Right? Yeah.
Friday is usually my day, you know? So I usually take Friday for me. Because I might be doing events on Saturday, Sunday, or something like that. But yeah, you got to do that. Self care
is so important. Mm-hmm. It's way more vitally important than I ever realized. Yeah. I started a mental health journey a few years ago, and mm-hmm. I learned a lot about that. Yeah. And I highly recommend.
Please, you know, this is one thing that I've learned as I got older. Yeah. Right, when you get in your 50s. You know, you just don't care. It's like, all right, I'm me, right?
Here I am.
Yes, and I'm going to take, I'm going to do me, whatever, you know. I enjoyed that because, you know, I can lay in the bed, look at Lifetime, or now it's Tubi. That's my big,
Tubi.
Yeah, I look at Tubi all the time. But lay in the bed and not get dressed for a couple of days if I have to. You know, I just.
Yeah, take care of yourself and chill out. Mm-hmm. Rest up.
Yep, doing fine.
I love it. I read up that you were named, mm-hmm. I have to read this, mm-hmm. Essence Woke 100 Women.
Yeah, I was.
That must have been a proud moment. What does this recognition mean to you?
I didn't
personally?
Even think it was real.
Really?
I got called one day. I never forget it. I got called one day. This was 2018, and they were like, Mayor Reed, this is so-and-so from Essence Magazine. And I was like, yeah, okay. I was sitting in a Skyline. I was doing On the Road. I was sitting in an office at Skyline, and I was sitting with another teacher, and I was like, think about this is Essence Magazine. And she was like, is it for real? I'm like, no. I was like, no, why is this magazine?
So, but you then, like, you thought you were getting pranked.
Yeah, I was like, put her on speaker, listen to this. And so then she just kept talking, right? And she was like, we would like to recognize you. We've been following you, you know, and your story, and you're the first African-American woman. And I was like, wait a minute. And so that year they were celebrating African-American women mayors.
Oh, wow.
That's where really? That came
that,
from.
That was very specific.
Yeah. And
also
so
cool.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because that year there was like all these black women who were becoming mayors all
That's
across
pretty
the nation. And so they Essence Magazine did an article on us. They brought us in. Like once I realized, oh, this is for real. Right. Because they were looking at Virginia, and they looked at Charlottesville, right? Because Charlottesville at the time had Nakia Walker, mm-hmm. and she was the first black woman for Charlottesville. And then it was me, right?
Okay.
And so they wanted, you know, they were like, oh, this is neat. Y'all like maybe like an hour apart.
I was going to give that context right. if you didn't. Yeah.
And I was
neat.
Like, yeah. And so they were like, so yeah, we would like for you to come to DC. We were going to do a photo shoot.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about how, you know, y'all just broke the glass ceiling, right? And all y'all's work. And they, for me, it was my work with the youth and youth empowerment, all that. And I got to DC, and there was all these black mayors, the mayor of Atlanta, Charlotte.
Wow.
Yeah.
From
and
everywhere.
Everywhere. Black women, DC, Baltimore, and me. Right?
That is, I'm getting goosebumps, to be honest with you. That had to be amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was looking for Charlottesville. She didn't come.
Oh.
And so I was the only one from Virginia. Okay. Right? And it was just a beautiful experience. Yeah. I mean, not only to be around those women who today we still kind of meet up, right?
That's
at the
good
conventions
too.
And stuff.
Yeah.
But just to be in that moment, to be recognized to that level of we have done something huge.
Yes.
For women of color.
Absolutely.
It was amazing. That was my Essence experience.
I love it. You have such a rich story and your youth empowerment experience and the women that poured into you and now serving as mayor for 7 years, 7.5, I think. Yeah. What advice would you give to young women of color that are thinking about pursuing politics or community leadership roles? If they were sitting right here and listening to you, what advice would you give them?
Yeah. First, do it. Right? Don't be scared. If they want to pursue whatever they want to pursue, if it's politics, whatever, do it. You are smart enough, you're good enough, whatever that thing is that you want to do, you're qualified to do it. Don't second guess yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't try to change and yourself to be like someone else. You're prepared to do this. Take that risk, take that chance, and just don't be afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't be afraid, because I guarantee you will learn something from it. And I really wished I would have got this at a young age, just to be okay with who you are and how you show up, and be your authentic self. Right? And understand that there is nobody like you.
Yes, I agree.
Nobody like you. Right? Mm-hmm. And you need to lean into that and love that about yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? And so take those risks, take those opportunities, you know, do whatever you feel like in your spirit, in your heart, that you want to do. I mean, like even with you, right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you are crazy and funny.
Thank you.
You know, and for you to step out and be this, you know, comedian, yeah. Right?
I know. And it comes with fear and doubt.
Yeah. But you
still step out.
Yeah, step out. And there's nobody like you.
No.
Right? And it's so
God, maybe to some, I don't know.
Well, you know what, Dawn, what we need to always say, especially to our young ladies, and you know, we're living at a time that they're living in a time that we didn't experience with this whole social media
stuff. Oh, yeah.
That we have to empower our young ladies because it's so much trash that they have to go through.
Yeah, on social media. It was already hard enough. I can't imagine. Yeah.
And so there's that that they have to do that we have to pump, you know, this love and this, you know, self reassurance and self-empowerment into them. Because they can get trashed and just pulled down by this.
And then you tend to, even as adults beyond youth, you get can do the scrolling and then start comparing yourself.
Yep.
And comparison is the thief of joy, I was once told.
Yes.
And sometimes I have to slow down when I'm starting to feel some kind of anxiety about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a comedian that may be further than I am. Maybe we started at the same time. I'm happy for them, but I'm also like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll remind myself that comparison is the thief of joy. I didn't strike that original comment, but it has impacted me, and I often say it to myself.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll fall into that, and I fell into it. You know, when I first became mayor, I remember my first city council meeting, and I was sitting there nervous. I'd never done this before, and I had four men. All of them had been mayor before at some point in their time, and here I am, getting ready to run this meeting with these four men, three which were so experienced, you know, had been on council over 10 years, you know, or close to 10 years. And I remember getting started, and they immediately were trying to tell me, no. And I said, stop. This is my meeting.
Oh, that's good. I like the way you took command.
Yeah, this is my meeting. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what you have to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, stop. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good enough for this. I deserve this.
Yep.
Right? And if I make a mistake, I'll make a mistake.
Yep.
Right? Lean into it, ladies.
Lean into it. And stand. And I would say, I mean, I can't speak of woman of color, but I can speak as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Stand in the power of your gifts that you've been given.
Yes.
They will only grow stronger.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good advice.
Yeah. And I know about the fear of failure. I think a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And I love your point that it's not the end of the world. It's actually the beginning of a new world because of what you learn from the failure. And it's not a slight against you as a person. You tried something, it didn't work.
Right.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Try something else.
Exactly right. I love that. What has been some of the most or the most inspirational moment of your tenure so far as mayor?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Inspirational moment. Something always has to do with children. I think one year I had this group of young ladies that they weren't even from Harrisonburg. They were coming from Northern Virginia, and they were doing like this tour. They were stopping. It was this organization of black young ladies with mentors, and they were just kind of coming through. And they had read about me, and they reached out one of the organizers and asked, you know, could we meet you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. And it was probably about 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had them come to City Hall, and they were just, they came, they had never seen, well, one, they were shocked that they got to meet me was one thing. And I think I was their first woman of color they've seen in a, as a mayor.
Okay.
And so we just, you know, we just kind of hung out. But those moments when students would be like, oh my gosh, you're the mayor, right? And, you know, how I can pour into them,
mm-hmm.
Is something that it's inspirational for me. But it's, I also cherish those times that I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think another one is meeting Kamala Harris.
I've met her twice.
Yes, I've met her twice. Being able to go to D.C., go to her house, meet her. That was overwhelming for me. First time was very overwhelming. Second time I was like, okay, I got it. I got it. But just being, you know, a hometown girl from Harrisonburg, and I'm up here at the mm-hmm. vice president's house. Yeah, that was a lot for me. Another inspirational moment is happening right now.
Okay.
Is the building the homeless shelter.
Oh, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so that was something that I led on. You know, during COVID, we each city received a certain amount of money, COVID money.
Oh, yeah, that's
ARPA,
right. Yeah,
ARPA funding.
Yep, remember
and
now.
Harrisonburg received $23 million.
Whoa.
And so we were able to do 23 projects with that $23 million, 23 different projects with that, 22, 23 different projects with that money. One was a homeless shelter. It's being built right now. It should open in October. But the fact that we had homeless people in Harrisonburg was like, I couldn't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some great organizations that would, during those winter months, would go and do this thermal shelter where they, each week they would move to a different church,
mm-hmm.
And people could stay.
Yeah, I remember.
But it was becoming too much, right?
I had heard that.
Yeah. And so I got together. It took us 3 years, but I got together. This is one how I got together with the stakeholders of directors who work in shelter with our shelter.
Yeah, serving the homeless.
And they kept telling me, you know, I wanted to know, okay, you know, what do we need to do? And they were my experts. And they was like, we need a shelter. We need a...
like a permanent mm-hmm, place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And so we got it. I was able to talk to my council members and I was like, I need some of this money to go to a homeless shelter. And then they got there. We agreed. But I wanted it to be more of a than just a shelter. I wanted it to be a campus, a center.
Oh, for some empowerment and mentorship?
Yeah, programs, whatever. So that when people go there, they come out and able to be successful in everyday life. And so
instead of a Band-Aid and temporary fix.
And so many people have come together with that. And so we're opening in October. I've had so many people thank me. You know, thank you for being our voice. Thank you for leading. But that's probably one of my greatest accomplishments because I see it every day being built. And I'm like, gosh, you know, that's something that I can say I did that, right? And I did it for the least of these, right?
Yeah.
For our people who needed it the most. They're going to have that place.
You can get in tough spots in life. I've certainly been through a few myself.
Absolutely.
Over my lifetime. So I'm curious what kinds of additional empowerment programs and initiatives you're going to have with this homeless center for the homeless.
Yeah. So
can you speak on that?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, things are still in the works, but what I envision and what I think, you know, that we're going to be able to do is, you know, there's going to be all organizations working. So we got Open Doors that will be running the facility, but we also got, you know, other organizations that will be able to be there throughout the day, help with, you know, if people need
job placement,
jobs, work, education,
okay,
housing, you know, how do you learn how to survive, you know, live independently,
mm-hmm.
Being able to get prepared for a mm-hmm. job, look at, even if you have some type of addiction, you
know, I was gonna say, will there be counseling services?
Counseling, yes. Yeah. And where the homeless shelter center is, it's near our CSB, our community service board.
Oh, great.
Like, they're right beside each other.
And that's a mental health resource, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah. So you'll be able to
okay.
go there, walk there. We'll also working with Sentara about having a mobile unit there for health care. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a lot of different opportunities for people mm-hmm. just to get the help and the support they need, wraparound services that they need to be able to live independently.
I like the multi-prong approach. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the mental health journey has been learning about how our past traumatic experiences can get us in situations mm-hmm. like that, and because our brain has been rewired from that kind of that mm-hmm. trauma and that background.
Yeah.
And so having the multi-prong approach serves their physical needs immediately,
mm-hmm.
but also helps them rewire their brain so they can take and maneuver into a newer track
mm-hmm.
that's going to be much more sustainable
yeah.
and in the long term healthier for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so exciting too, because they're going to feel empowered.
Yes,
and
they are.
Like Fernando and Shayna,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can come back and be, you know, people that bring the next group yep. up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And a great note to end on. So as we wrap up here,
yes.
how can the laughers connect with the mayor of yes. Harrisonburg in the best of ways?
yeah. So, you know, this is when I feel like I need my intern McKinley, because I don't know any of this. All right. So I do have an email.
Okay.
And so you can reach me at Dina, DEANNA dot Reed, RED, at HarrisonburgVA.gov. That is my mayor email address. You can also, if you are now social media, I'm Facebook.
And that's about it.
So if you want to, people find me on Facebook and they will message me on Facebook. I just figured out how to do that. But you can get on Facebook and I am Dina Reed, Harrisonburg City Councilwoman.
Okay.
You can find me on that. Just Google that and I'll pop up.
Okay.
And then I think that's all my email.
Okay.
I think that's,
those are the best ways.
Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, right. I'm not gonna, sometimes I give out my phone number, but
we won't have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Email her. It'll be
email
good.
Email me. You always get me back.
Or you can direct message her on Facebook now that she figured it out.
Yes. Google Harrisonburg. Dina Reed, Harrisonburg City Councilwoman. You'll find me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Mary.
Thank
Reed
you. This was fun.
Wasn't it? I'm enlightened and motivated and inspired by all your work.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate and value our time together. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you. And we're going to eat some.
Yeah, we're going to eat that. You eat that popcorn while I wrap this up.
All right. I will.
Oh, laughers, to connect with Mayor Reed, I'm going to have to read this. You can email her at dina.reed at harrisonburgva.com.
Dot gov.
Oops, my bad. Or you can go to Facebook and look her up, Dina Reed, Harrisonburg Councilwoman. And we'll be sure to put all that information again for you in the show notes. So if you're working out or driving, do not worry. When you are still, you can look that up. And laughers, thank you also for tuning in today and spending time with us. We cherish you as well. And give this podcast a like, subscribe, follow, share, tell people about it, because that gives us the ability to create more amazing content for you about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley. Also, don't forget that discount on Preposterous using promo code LAUGH15 when you visit preposterous.com to buy your popcorn today. That way you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the things you could have done today, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.